In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. My dear Canon, Reverend Father, my dear sisters, members of the Society of the Sacred Heart, my dear faithful, the Council of Trent declared in its 22nd session, "If anyone saith that by these words, do this for the commemoration of me, Christ did not institute the apostles' priests, or did not ordain that they and other priests should offer his own body and blood, let him be anathema." You have all heard before that today marks the anniversary of the priesthood. And I would not have any of you with doubts in your mind about the event. So that if anyone ever asks you, when did Christ institute the sacrament of holy orders, you can respond without hesitation, recalling those solemn words of the Council of Trent. It was at the very moment when he instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. As that same immortal council teaches us, for as much as under the former testament, according to the testimony of the Apostle Paul, there was no perfection because of the weakness of the Levitical priesthood, there was need, God the Father of mercy so ordaining, that another priest should rise, according to the order of Melchizedek, our Lord Jesus Christ, who might consummate and lead to what is perfect as many as were to be sanctified. He, therefore, our God and Lord, though he's about to offer himself once on the altar of the cross unto God the Father by means of his death, there to operate in eternal redemption, nevertheless, because that God the Father, by means of his death, nevertheless, because his priesthood was not to be extinguished by his death, in the Last Supper, on the night in which he was betrayed, so that he might leave to his own beloved spouse, the Church, a visible sacrifice, such as the nature of man requires, whereby that bloody sacrifice, once to be accomplished on the cross, might be represented, and the memory thereof remain even unto thee the end of the world, and its salutary virtue be applied to the remission of those sins which we daily commit, declaring himself constituted a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, he offered up to God the Father his own body and blood, under the species of bread and wine, and under the symbols of those same things, he delivered his own body and blood to be received by his apostles, whom he then constituted priests of the New Testament. And by those words, "Do this in commemoration of me," he commanded them and their successors in the priesthood to offer those gifts, even as the Catholic Church has always understood and taught. For having celebrated the ancient Passover, which the multitude of the children of Israel immolated in memory of their going out of Egypt, he instituted the new Passover, that is, himself, to be immolated under visible signs by the Church through the ministry of priests, in memory of his own passage from this world unto the Father, when by the effusion of his own blood he redeemed us and delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into his kingdom. The Holy Eucharist is at once sacrament and sacrifice. And since there is no sacrifice without the priesthood, our blessed Savior would not institute this new sacrifice and leave his Church for one moment without an enduring priesthood by which he could fulfill his commandment, "Do this for the commemoration of me. This is the essence of the priesthood of the New Testament. We can say that in this last age of an aging world, to be a priest means to be able to pronounce the words of our Lord and thereby cause him to be really, truly, and substantially present under the appearances of bread and wine, so that he appears as he did on that first Good Friday, not yet in a state of glory, but as a blood offering for the sins of the world. That is indeed how the priest of God will leave our Lord tonight for our adoration. For tonight, we commemorate the institution of the Holy Eucharist and of the Holy Priesthood in qua nocte tradibatur, as the Gospel so precisely states, and St. Paul uses in this phrase tradibatur, at the very moment when his betrayal was underway. These are the thoughts that have been filling the mind of the Church ever since she began to observe this day, starting last night at the Office of Tenebrae, when the thoughts of Holy Mother Church dwelt especially on the betrayal, the cowardice, and the slothfulness of our Lord's disciples, those whom he had just instituted, priests of the New Testament. We can only be cut to the quick hearing the words so hauntingly chanted at that office. Are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Do you not see Judas? He is not sleeping. He makes haste to betray me to the Jews. And you said you were ready to die for me. It is as though our Lord says to his disciples, are you in fact my disciples or just my fans? To every type of person, there is a word of our Lord in the Gospel, in the liturgies of these days, which can be applied to them. If we are pagans who have never heard the Gospel, and are spending these days eating, drinking, and waiting for death, well, then to us applies the words of our Lord from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We would not be thereby excused from sin, but Christ has won for us sufficient grace for our conversion. But if we go by the name of Catholic and yet still hold these days in contempt, especially these sacred hours where we are called to be with our Lord before the altar of repose, our Savior has no words for us except, what you do, do quickly. This is your hour. Now is the hour of traitors. Surely we cannot begin to fathom the mystery of the dark times in which we live, unless we are mindful of this fact. This is the hour of traitors, of Judases, and the hour of darkness. Or perhaps we can live these hours to come by the words which the Gospel applies to Peter. Petrus sequebatur a longe. Peter followed from afar. Instead of spending 1 hour before the source of all light, refreshment, and peace, we can keep our Catholic affiliation while warming ourselves by the fires of the world, appearing to be anything but Catholic in the eyes of men. But there is another option. We can be like St. John. He himself was among those who fell asleep in the garden. Yes, a frail man like us, but a faithful disciple. For though his eyes weighed him down, Yet he did not abandon his master. He faithfully obeyed the last commandment he received from him. Watch and pray. That is all he did throughout the drama of Calvary, and that is all our Lord asks of us. Watch and pray. What we may ask is the reward for this commandment. What recompense can we expect for obeying? For the answer, look no further than the life of St. John. On Good Friday, he became the adopted son of Our Lady and went on to die a holy death. Can we doubt that our Lord will grant the same grace to anyone who does likewise? Watch and pray before our saving victim and our high priest. Stay with Mary at the foot of the cross. She will be our mother, and thus we can hope to be with her and with our high priest in paradise. Amen.